Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Bob Barber here, your host at SAT Radio. Tonight we have a special presentation, an announcement, and then we will follow the announcement up with a question and answer session. Then we'll go ahead to our nightly pre-recorded law class for tribal courts. Instructor Judge Naidu, and tonight's class will be Carino case. So, who is giving the presentation tonight? Just press 1 and I'll see you when your 1 goes up there. Okay, we have 2. Hi there, Tom. And the other one must be Sandra. Sandy, right? Emma?
Yep. I'm here.
Okay. Well, you're both on the air. Go ahead.
Want to go first, Sandy? I guess I should then. The basic presentation is new news is that the judge has found a merchant servicer in Malaysia, so that people with credit and debit cards around the world can send payments to Malaysia through the credit card. This has several advantages. The main one being is it's easier for the especially people overseas who are having trouble getting the necessary wiring and also the expense of just wiring something because on a debit or credit card there will probably be a 3% surcharge than the $45 that we're doing right now. And it also means that once he gets the banking set up for the NALJC over there, for the monetized program, you can send both the learning fee and the administration fee in one wire. Which will clear up a lot of problems. It will also clear up the business of getting a proof of wire transfer because that will all be in one and we will get electronically communicated with the correct messages. Now, there's some technical things we have to sort out from between the website and the bank is that when we set it up that we can present the bank with the correct information so that we know exactly what transaction that payment is paying. In other words, exactly who it is and specifically so we can connect it each time because if you're sending in several packages, we need to know what package the particular payment is about. Well, I've lost my track here. This will relieve the business to be able to send the bank the correct information identifying the transaction, because right now through wire, the information being sent over is very, very cryptic, and it's often quite hard to coordinate it with the package being sent. The other thing is that once the payment is made, we need to know electronically right away that the payment was accepted, that it was good. you know, because if you've done anything online, sometimes you have to put your card in and all of that stuff. And it may, well, when I do it, I generally make all kinds of typos, so it may take me 2, maybe even sometimes 5 times to get it correct. And we need to know that at least one of those transactions was correct. So we got to get the correct information from the bank. Then we can make, on our side, make sure we have absolute records of your account, and that will then help us with the number doing the tracking. Because right now, I'm not keeping the count because I don't have the information for when things are complete to keep the account. That's why it's coming from the judge. So that takes care of the monetized program. It means that there will be one payment. And in all of this process, we will not, on the monetized website, have any access to your card number. When we give you the screen to enter your card number and all of that, that screen is actually not coming from us. It's coming from the merchant servicer on the other side. So they're the only ones that will have that card number. The other important thing it does is it really makes a $65 a month program possible. Because the way it currently is, to do $65 a month and incur a $45 wiring fee each time almost doubles the price of it. And really makes the whole program much harder. Now, with the debit card, there is the issue of can the merchant servicer set up a recurring account, and that means that if you tell them deduct the $65 a month from my card, can they do it? Some will do something like that. Others simply want you to send in each transaction. Another issue can be, can they accept ACH payments? ACH payments are people who pay their utility bills online. Or when you go pay your utility bill, you have the choice of either giving them a debit card or giving them the bank routing number and the account number and letting them take money out of that account. So that will be a question as to whether they permit that. Another way of doing it, which we can keep track on our end, is if you want to just put in an amount, this is sort of a stupid form of recurring payment. Just tell us, okay, you want to pay $650. That means we have to keep track of the fact that 10 months go by before we tell you, okay, you owe us more money. So that's the basis of the announcement, that we've got the banking going. It should help speed up the process and make the whole accounting and keeping track of everything much easier. Over and out, Bob.
That's impossible. It cannot be over and out. You're either over or out. Okay, here we go. Where is Sandy? Sandy, are you here? Are you listening? Where is you? I mean, where are you? Okay, 7870, you have a question? (516) 521-7870. Do you have a phone? I mean,
oh,
do you have a?
Oh, that's me, Robert.
Oh, that's you. Well, we have another person with a question.
Thanks for putting my cell phone number way out into cyber world.
Okay, hold on a second. We have a live We've got a live on the air, 7514. You have a question? Okay, he just wants to listen. Go ahead, Sandy.
No, you called on me. I didn't raise my hand.
Which one's your phone number? What's your number?
7870.
Gotcha. Okay, go ahead.
Robert, I don't have a question.
Not a question. Go ahead with your presentation. We're waiting.
He said that you pushed your one button at the same time I pushed my one button, so he's assuming you want to make a presentation.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So do we have any questions here? Just press the number one on your keypad, and we'll see you. I just don't want to leave everybody open. Just too much noise that way. So let's see the hands. I know you all are waiting for a Carino case. I know that. I presented it as such. So I know you're waiting for that. It's a great.
If they don't have questions here, we had the monetized call earlier today. And it was about 25 to 30. Yeah, we have it every Tuesday, except that last Tuesday I was on the move, so there was no call.
We had
a number of questions there, so if they can't think of their questions, they can go listen to the monetized call and see those questions.
Well, the bank is, when is that starting? I mean, credit card.
Basically, Judge said last night the bank agreed. It hasn't started yet. I can't predict.
Right. Right.
I'll have to talk with them. I've got to talk with their support staff to understand what their interface is so I can put it on our site and integrate it with their website.
Well, this is great. Great news. It's a step ahead. It's one more step ahead. Right, Sandy? It's great. Monetize, when they come in, we got 20,000, 30,000 people signed up, and the judge is just smiling. He knows he made it with all our help. We're ready to roll. All the rest of the world who want to come in and sign up, I say we put a block right there on 20,001.
Well,
yeah.
Don't make it too easy for them to get in. What this
Waiting
does for
that.
The overseas, especially once he sends up the banking for NALJC overseas, is
yes.
The obstacle for people overseas has been generally getting the money for the administration fees separately to Ohio. This will stop that problem. You send it all in one payment, forget Ohio. Just send the documents to Ohio.
Okay, that's great. This is very encouraging, Tom. Just don't know. It's very encouraging. I know the judge was chatting about it, but when you just come up in here, that is it. That's what you're saying. This is it.
Right.
So that's what matters.
We've got a lot more of the things to deal with. This isn't the only problem to solve, but it looks like he was able to do the essential step here to solve this problem. The banking has been an issue, confusing the operation.
Okay, I do have a question. You don't have to answer it, but if you can make like a 120-word presentation, I'd appreciate it. Is the monetization of land moving ahead, or is the AIIB kind of messing things up?
It's not so much the AIIB messing it up, is that the various governments are reacting simply because we're hitting Wall Street where it hurts when we do this. we're stealing their thunder.
Well, I was doing some checking on it, and you're absolutely right. White Wall Street is furious. Well, so I hope that's not going to throw a a lug into the wrench.
I'm not exactly sure what the issue is and how that's going to be resolved, but the judge is saying that it will be resolved. I don't know whether doing separate IBOEs does it or whether there's going to have to be something else.
Well, we have great leadership. We have the judge, Naidu. He's a 42-year lawyer, and in that time period, a 25-year judge. Wow. Tom is the monetized CYLB administrator, and Sandy is our go-to girl. No, I'm kidding, Sandy. Very important work here. I'm sorry, I had you off there. You couldn't respond. That's not fair. 8174, you have any questions? 7870. You're live. Would you like to say anything? Okay. Well, the way I see it is nobody wants to chat. They just want to hear this great case. It really, truly is. Carino case. It's a pre-recorded law class for tribal court by Judge Naidu.
What are you talking about?
No, your Tuesday class.
I'm going to be given?
Yeah.
No. This is going to be a private concern.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be running the PTSD treatment system that I have developed.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying that the more people we can learn about your system, I'm just trying to.
I'll tell you what you do. try this.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doc. Jason here.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing? Good.
Okay, has everybody got the class notes for today?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Okay, but we posted it, so.
Yes.
Now,
are they posted on the site, Tom?
Yes.
It's always posted in the usual place. Did everybody get it? So I'm assuming everybody has received Carino versus the Insular Government of the Philippines. Yes?
It's in the Skype room.
Yeah, okay. Now, this case, I've used this case many, 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 many times to prove a point. Now, this case has never been overruled, which is good. And the other curious thing about this case is this involved a Filipino native's right to his land. Now, as we go through the case, you will notice how the Supreme Court of the United States acknowledged, recognized, respected, regarded native title in the Philippines while stealing native land in America. And the other weird, bizarre, queer, strange behavior by the Supreme Court is evidenced in the way Justice Holmes reasoned native title. Okay, so it's a very unusual case because it was based on Justice Holmes' subjective idea of what native title is. Now, my problem with this case, like every other case I have read when it comes to Native American issues, is the way they reasoned it out without going into the basic fundamental anthropological historical evidence. Now, about 5 years ago, I grew up again when my grandson in Australia made a statement. Unfortunately, that poor fella looks like me. And he made a statement that made me think. He looked at me and said, "Hey, Grandpa, you realize that you look like me." Now, he speaks Australian because they've lived in Australia all their lives. And I said, "Yes, I look like you because you came first." Now, the point I'm trying to make here is Oliver Wendell Holmes, supposedly a strategic thinker, a prolific writer, a brilliant mind, a sharp wit, failed to go into the basics. There is a story that when he was 90 years old, the 68-year-old, almost 70-year-old Louis Brandeis and he were walking down the street after the spot of lunch, I say, old chap. And a beautiful lady walked by. And Louis Brandeis, being the stiff upper lip kind of a guy, did not glance at this woman, but this 90-year-old Holmes looked at this woman and looked at Louis Brandeis, another Supreme Court justice, the first Jew on the Supreme Court. And he said to Justice Brandeis, to be 68, 69 years old again. So this guy, brilliant man, sharp wit, but he failed miserably to mention or articulate this age-old aphorism, this age-old common law doctrine, which goes like this in Latin. Usucapio constituta est ut alici litium finis esset. That means usucapion was instituted. Now, what is usucapion? For those of you who remember my earlier lessons and sessions, what is the meaning of usucapion, Jason Berg? I will call out your name and only you will answer. What is the meaning of usucapion, Jason Berg? Sandy Hancock.
This is Jason. I don't know, sir. I apologize.
Okay. That's okay. Antoine Smith. Ron Ursham. Jim Ursham. Ray Owen. Tom Widelaw.
Title to the land by extended use.
Say that again?
Title to the land by extended use.
Yeah, ownership due to lengthened possession. Use a copy on. Let me type that out on the board. I got to go to tribal law. Use a copy on. Can you all see it? Ownership due to lengthened possession. The formula is right here. Possession plus occupancy equals to ownership. Oh, I'm sorry, the spelling is use a copy on, not usua. Oh, gee, what is happening? Use a copy on. USUCAPION. Now, here is this famous common law doctrine, which I will type out, usucapio constituta. For all those of you who owns land, who owns a home, this is something you must remember. And if you can't remember, just make a bumper sticker. Usucapio constituta est ut aliqui lithium finis acid. Usucapion was instituted that there might be an end of lawsuits. Why? Because the right of property conferred by lengthened possession was introduced or made law in order that after a certain term, after a certain period of time, no question should be possible concerning the ownership of property. Now, I am not saying I'm more educated, I'm more knowledgeable than Oliver Wendell Holmes, but here's what I'm saying. I'm saying when he gave his judgment, he failed to give the basis of the judgment based on the evidence, based on the facts, and based on the law. That's what I'm getting at. So Carino is a very interesting case simply because the Supreme Court of the United States recognized native title in a foreign American protectorate, i.e. the Philippines. Okay? Now, I want you to jump to page 3. You can read the rest of it, which is basically a commentary. And jump to page 3, the last paragraph, which says the facts of Carino versus insular government. The plaintiff is an Igorot of the province of Benguet. Igorot is like the Apache or the Yamasee or the Cherokee or whoever. Now, America had no qualms about calling him a savage. Okay? Now, the Philippines at one time was a Spanish colony because the Pope found out and he could smell gold in the Philippines. They didn't come to Indonesia. They didn't go anywhere else. They didn't come to Cambodia. They... Indochina, they didn't go to Malaysia, they went to the Philippines. Because the Philippines has been blessed with vast quantities of gold. So now, the Igorot case, moving to page 4. His grandfather lived upon the land. He maintained fences. For the sake of holding cattle, you must understand this. He didn't maintain fences to keep out the outsiders, but it was sufficient for the holding of cattle. Okay? And then his father had cultivated parts and had used parts for pasturing cattle and used it as pasture. They have been recognized as owners by the Igorots, and he had inherited or received the land from his father. Now, this is the key that you must understand. There was no document of title. Usucapio constituta est ut aliqui lithium finis acid doesn't say anything about having a stupid piece of paper to evidence ownership. Like the birth certificate. Another piece of paper to prove I own this chattel. This is my slave. He or she shall go to school by the time they are 6 or 7. He or she shall get a job under the Adamson Act and work for 8 hours a day. He or she shall apply for a license to acquire a dog, a cat, an occupation, and to be able to travel. This so-called paper document. So now, here is this Igorot who now files a petition alleging ownership, but he made a mistake under the mortgage law. Because if he owned it outright, his lawyers or whoever it was who asked him to challenge title should not have gone under mortgage law, because he did not owe anything on the land. He owned it under the concept, the doctrine, the aphorism of usucapion. Do you grasp that? Now, according to common law, he owned possessory title. Now, possession, occupancy equals to ownership. So why all these cute, sexy words like possessory, proprietary? Why? Now, the Supreme Court decided we will now see, examine, evaluate, analyze. Justice Holmes was attempting to use the IDEA, but it didn't define usucapion. This is what, okay, now we are looking at the last paragraph of page 4. Everybody there? Is everybody there? All right. Now, first, the Supreme Court said that Payne had title to all the land in the Philippines, except so far as it saw fit to permit private titles to be acquired. So, the United States Supreme Court is saying that Spain had title to all the lands. Now, Spain did not grow up in the Philippines. Spain did not hold cattle farms in the Philippines. So how Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes figured that Spain had title to all the lands in the Philippines especially knowing that Spain never conquered the Philippines. They just came, they brought the missionaries, they said, we love gold, we love God, we love your goats, but more than that, we love your gold. So between G, O, and D, you can add an L. I want your gold, but I need an excuse. Like in America, when the squatters came in, it was, I want your lands. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to kill you. Or I'm going to pay you, sort of, kind of, and sign a treaty. So the United States Supreme Court said Spain had title to all the land. And then they went on to say that Spain had issued a decree in 1880 and set a deadline for the registration of these titles. That reminds me of 1851 in California, when all the computers were down in 1851, when internet was down, when, you know how it is in 1851 America, the federal government suddenly realized that, wait a minute, we bribed, we cajoled, we coerced, we terrorized, dehumanized Santa Ana and God, California. But there is nothing about land title. So the federal government came up with the Indian Claims Act of 1851 and issued a newspaper publication. Now, mind you, all the Californian Indians were Harvard-educated, English-speaking, Latin-quoting Indians, right? And they had advertised it in the papers when the internet was down and all the laptops were not working. And the Indians did not know that they had to register a claim within 2 years. The 2 years came and went. They were busy learning about the Bible, Old and New Testament. Nobody talked about the Indian Land Claims Act. And after 2 years, the California government helped itself to more than 350,000 acres of land. And the Indians, the California Indians of Mexico, were the only land they had was to plant some tomatoes and squash at the back of the church as mission Indians. So coming back to Carino, the Spanish government did exactly the same thing that the American government did. When they said you had to register your private title, and then beyond that date, no title will be recognized because the land in question was not registered. Because it's not registered, you didn't stake a claim. The government contended that it had become public property. How nice, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How convenient. Now then, the United States took over from Spain. So the Supreme Court said, we succeeded to the title. Very convenient.
Yep.
Now mind you, Spain did not conquer the Philippines and neither did America. Right? The Filipino government called upon America to throw the Spanish out. So Admiral Dewey turned up in the Bay of Manila, fired a few shots. The Spanish said, hallelujah, sang some Ave Marias, and they quit. And the United States succeeded to the title. Mind you, use a copion, be buggered and sugared. Forget about it. So now, Justice Oliver is saying, Oliver Holmes, is since the United States succeeded to the title of Spain, Quirino had no right which it was bound to respect. The court disagreed with the United States in a decision that has remained as obscure as it is significant. See how nicely they use words? All the treaties in America were observed in their breach, but not in their obedience. See? So now, the court disagreed with the United States because the court is an independent court. It doesn't give a damn about the government. It has remained obscure as it is significant. It is significant because it is obscure. It is hazy. It is blurred. What the hell was the decision? We are not sure. Ah! That's significant. They're like the CNN monkeys when they appear on the news. Secretary Kerry did this and did that. He's brokered a deal and breaking news. But nobody is sure what Syria said. CNN is not sure what Turkey said. Nobody is sure what Iran said. Nobody is sure about anything. So I'm here to tell you that I have nothing to report to you. I want to tell you today, and this is Anderson Cooper, that we don't know what has happened. And that's the breaking news. See? So that was the observation that this case is significant because it has remained obscure, if not absurd. Now then the court decides to shove its foot more into the mouth. The court admitted that Spain had embraced a universal feudal theory that all lands were held by the crown. Really? If all land was held by the crown, why didn't the crown decide to repeal usucapion? Why didn't they write into their law books that the doctrine of usucapion shall no longer be recognized? Do you know why they didn't do that? Can anybody tell me why they didn't do that?
It would break international law.
Yeah. What else were they breaking? This feudal theory. What else were they breaking when they talked about all lands are to be held by the crown? Now, mind you, these guys were deep into Christianity. These guys were deep into introducing our Lord Jesus Christ to the savages. All land cannot be held by the crown because it goes against Leviticus chapter 25, verses 23, which says, this land shall not be sold forever because you are aliens and strangers upon my land. So the feudal theory, usucapion, international law, don't forget the sublimus deus by Pope Paul in 1537 that all land belonging to native people must be recognized, respected, regarded, acknowledged. Don't forget the 1763 Royal Proclamation Don't forget the 1787 Northwest Ordinance. Hello. I can show you law that these idiots, the squatter monkeys, have violated. There is no such thing as fee simple, allodium, and land patents. It cannot hold a candle to usucapion. The first time I mentioned this in a court of law as a practicing attorney, the stupid judge said, it's irrelevant. I looked at him and said, Your Honor, can you please tell me what usucapion is? He wanted to hold me in contempt for questioning him. That monkey did not know what usucapion meant, and he had the nerve to tell me it was irrelevant. Huh? So the Supreme Court admitted that Spain had embraced the universal feudal theory that all lands were held by the crown. That is bovine excrement. And I can prove it. The Sublimus Deus of 1537. The writings of international law by Franciscus Victoria or Victorio. The writings of Hugo Grotius. The writings of Emmerich van Mattel. Huh? The Royal Proclamation of 1763, the Northwest Ordinance of 1787, let's not forget the 1623 Mayflower Compact, let's not forget the 1215 Magna Carta. What else do you want? Let's not forget 18 USC 1151, but the question is, are these idiots, are these monkeys willing to obey the law? Answer, no. Why would they want to obey the law? They have no motivation to obey the law. Why? Because the law is restrictive. Why? Because the law says you have done wrong. Why? Because criminal law says thou shalt not steal. So why would they want to obey the law when they've got their policy? See, policy is more important than the law. One minute they say, these jihadis are a problem. We should do something about it. And next minute, we welcome all these refugees. Moving on. Meanwhile, back in Carino. However, Justice Holmes, who spoke for the court, said that in practice, sovereignty may vary in degree. I tell you, man, I haven't heard this much of crap coming out of the mouth of one Supreme Court justice. Sovereignty may vary. The United States government sovereignty may vary in degree. If I have the power to go and arrest the president and the 535 idiocrats and the 23 other bloody secretaries of the cabinet, then the sovereignty of the government may vary.
Right.
Because the people's sovereignty has taken over and has superseded and has overtaken the sovereignty that may vary in degree. Now he goes on to put his other foot into his mouth. How far a new sovereign shall insist upon the theoretical relation of the subjects to the head in the past, and how far it shall recognize actual facts, are matters for it to decide. So the thief who's got more firepower and more police power, he decides how much your sovereignty were, how much your sovereignty means. All right? Then, now, Holmes says, the Igorots were never brought under the control of the Spaniards, which is the point I was trying to raise earlier. They were never conquered. The court quipped that it could almost be certain that Spain would not have granted registration of the property that would not have made title valid. Now, that was supposed to be a joke.
Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah. I mean, why would it not have granted registration of the property to itself unless it realized that what it was doing was wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, the Supreme Court is saying, regardless of Spain's position about technical subtleties, this does not mean that under the dominion of the United States, Quirino has lost all his rights. But earlier they said that the Supreme Court had succeeded as legatee. It had succeeded to the title. But Oliver Wendell Holmes will not have it. He says he was not a mere trespasser when the government succeeded as the new sovereign. A contrary position would amount to denial of native titles throughout an important part of the island of Luzon, at least for the want of ceremonies which the Spaniards would not have permitted and had not the power to enforce. Oh, so you are a sovereign who didn't have the power to enforce, which means what?
No police powers.
No, now listen to the question, all of you. If I am a sovereign and I do not have the power to enforce, what does that mean?
You're not a sovereign.
Thank you. You're not a sovereign. So here is the Supreme Court's twisted logic. Oh, we have succeeded in title to Spain. Spain did not register these titles. Spain said by 1880, you must register these titles. If you don't register these titles. Now in Australia, and also in America and Canada, they had introduced what's known as the torrens system, T-O-R-R-E-N-S. That means a marauding squatter governor can take all the land and issue title and make a law. In other words, forget about usucapio. Now, here's an important part that Oliver Wendell Holmes had to say. He explained, and it says, the court explained that the cases involving the land claims of Native Americans were inapplicable in this situation because the acquisition of the Philippines was not like the settlement of the white race in the United States. So now native title in the Philippines is recognized because the white race did not go and settle in a brown man's land in the Philippines. Can you get that?
Well, not really.
Well, what he is saying is the cases involving land claims of Native Americans were inapplicable in this situation because the Philippines was acquired not like the settlement of the white race in the United States. You see, Europeans came and settled in America, whereas Europeans did not come and settle in the Philippines. So that was what the Supreme Court was trying to differentiate. The claims of the Native Americans is inapplicable in this Carino case because the Philippines was acquired not for the sake of settlement of the white race. And it goes on to say, whatever consideration may have been shown to the North American Indians, the dominant purpose of the whites in America was to occupy the land. And this is why native title usucapion had to be destroyed, eradicated, obscured, unobserved, not recognized, not regarded, not acknowledged, not approved. So, like I said, evidently, the reason for our taking over the Philippines was different.
Gold.
Yeah, but they're not mentioning that, you see.
Right, right.
They dare not mention that. Our objective, our first object in the internal administration of the Philippine Island is to do justice to the native. What a joke. What a joke. Huh?
Yeah, I get what he's saying, but the logic is just so stupid.
I know. That's what I want you to appreciate.
Yeah.
That's why this case is significant, because it is so obscure. The Native Americans have a claim because they are natives. The Igorots have a claim because they are natives. Spain owned Florida at one time, like Spain owned the Louisiana Purchase before it sold it to France. Spain owned, at least in paper, in theory, the Philippines. United States comes in because the Filipinos did not want to have anything to do with the Spanish. They wanted them out, like the Indochinese wanted the French out of Indochina, and how Ho Chi Minh scammed America into giving him the help. You see? History repeats itself. So now he says our first object of the islands is to do justice to the natives, but not to the Native Americans. This is in the Philippines. And it says, by the Organic Act of July 1, 1982, all the property and rights acquired there by the United States are to be administered for the benefit of the denizens thereof, the inhabitants thereof. So in the court's view, the United States had bound itself to administer the islands for the benefit of the inhabitants and not to exploit it for profit. It's funny, isn't it? They never thought of Native American lands this way. Maybe the Philippine land was not that attractive to squatters from Europe. I didn't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they didn't know that there was gold. The decision did not stop there. The court pointed out that the Philippine Bill of 1902, the Organic Act that is, included a Bill of Rights that extended those safeguards to all inhabitants of the Philippine Islands. Which proves my point that the Bill of Rights of 1789 did nothing to protect the Native Americans. Why? Because in 1968, they came up with the Indian Civil Rights Act. So as far as the Indians and Native Americans were concerned, there was no Bill of Rights to protect them from 1789. It's as simple as that. All they had was Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution, which said that Congress shall have the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations, among the several states, comma, and with Indian nations or Indian tribes. That's the only reference to Native Americans. So I took your land, I took away your hunting rights, your fishing rights, your gathering rights, your farming rights, and I don't include you in my Bill of Rights. Hallelujah, God be praised. This is the Christianity they shoved down the throats of the Native Americans while screaming freedom of religion under the First Amendment. Welcome to America. Now then, Holmes is not finished yet. He goes on to say, the court found it hard to believe that the United States interpreted the due process clause not to apply to the inhabitants of Benguet. The property under the Organic Act protected only that which has become such by ceremonies of which presumably a large part of the inhabitants never heard, and that it proposed to treat as public land what they, by native custom and by long association, regarded as their own. Now, suddenly the United States Supreme Court is saying, yeah, but then you guys didn't have you didn't have a religious ceremony to claim your land. Now suddenly the Supreme Court is wondering why you all didn't have a native custom, sing some songs, you know, bang some drums and do some dances and whatever. You look at the way the Supreme Court is justifying whatever decision is going to come down with. Then they went on to say the government of the Philippines was empowered to enact rules for perfecting titles. You mean the ancient rules didn't apply? They're not talking about laws, they're talking about rules here. Usucapion is not a good law, but you have not repealed it. You don't want to follow it, but you have not repealed it. You don't want to obey it, but you have not repealed it. You want to break it, but you don't want to repeal it. What is stopping you from repealing anything?
You make it obvious what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, hell, you can talk about gun control till the cows come home because your laws are inadequate. The Supreme Court looks at things differently. Your gun laws look at things differently. Government policy looks at things differently. An executive order looks at things differently. Public opinion looks at things differently. The media looks at things differently, not that it matters. But when it comes to perfecting titles, this is like creating a more perfect union. Perfect is perfect, but no, they want the people to create a more perfect union. So what are you doing, people, to create a more perfect union? Hey, I'm the government. I created a less perfect union. Don't blame me. It's you, the people, who are supposed to create a more perfect union. You mean you've done nothing since 1789? Okay, do nothing. That's the name of a new party. They're called the Do Nothing Party, DNP. Oh, who are you with? I'm with the DNP. Oh, what's that? The Do Nothing Party. So what do you do? Nothing. Oh, good, good, good. That's good, that's good. Okay, let's move on. Now, the court held that the power to perfect titles was confined to lands which were admittedly public. Now, what is the meaning of admittedly public?
Well, the meaning is that everybody admits it, but no, they created that meaning.
No, what is the meaning of admittedly public? Anybody?
Recognized by everyone?
No. It is recognized by who?
The public.
When it is admittedly public.
Right.
No, admittedly public means that which the government, without passing a law or enacting a rule, says, this is public land. I'll give you an example. Look what Teddy Roosevelt did with all the national parks. Suddenly the government owns all the mountains, all the rivers, all the geysers. Huh? Yellowstone Park, Bluestone Park, whatever you want to call it. See, they're called public lands. That is a good way of saying it belongs to the public. You can walk there, you can feed the ducks, don't kill the ducks, don't drink the water, don't bathe there, don't swim there, but it's a public land because I said so. That was a good question just now by Gita. Can you build a home on public land?
Yes.
What is the answer to that question? Come on, my friend.
No.
Can you build a house on public land?
You can't build on the public land unless you get special permission. And if you do build it, the property is still owned by the state.
No, Jason. You forgot to use a copy on.
Okay, that's, I do.
Admittedly public means, and I explained it 2.5 minutes ago, is that which the government says is public land by passing either a law or no law, or by enacting a rule, or by just issuing an executive order. Can you build on public land? Yes, if you get native title. Don't forget 18 USC 1151, Jason Berg. You can build. You should build. But judge, nobody has built. Nobody has built because nobody is smart enough to follow the law, to obey the law. If 10 million people go and build homes in Yellowstone Park, what is the government going to do? He doesn't have 30 million people to come and arrest you. You see, the fault is not with the government. The fault is with the people. I am more afraid. I am more confused. I am ignorant. I am intimidated. I love to be a slave. I love the Stockholm syndrome. I love my captor. I want to be in Egypt. I don't want an exodus from Egypt. Of course you can build in public land. The problem is we can't even get 20,000 people to sign up for the birth certificates. We're going to have 10 million people ready to go and build in a public land. Let's move on.
You can't go.
So the court said, yeah, sorry, somebody has something to say?
Sheeple.
Yeah, that too.
Meh.
Yeah, that's for sure. The court refused to believe that there was an intent to declare every native who did not have a paper title, a trespasser.
Huh.
This is in the Philippines, not in the United States. There we want to settle. We want to grab the Indian land. We want to settle. I want to bring my outlaws, my in-laws. I'm going to bring everybody from Ireland, from Germany to settle here. So the court said, even though you don't have paper title, you're not a trespasser. Why? Because your grandfather, your father owned the land, you tilled the land, you possessed the land, you occupied the land, you tilled it, you possessed it, you occupied it, therefore you own it.
Very wise words from the Mexican man. The
government, yeah. The Supreme Court further held that there must be a presumption against the government when a private individual claims property as his or her own. It went so far as to say that the lands will be deemed private, absent contrary proof. In what is probably the most potent statement ever made on the subject by any court, this is the important part. I want you to underline it. Whatever the law upon these points may be, by every presumption, every presumption is and ought to be against the government. Underline that part. Against the government. In a case like the present. In other words, he's saying, without saying it, usucapion is supreme and every presumption is and ought to be against the government. The fact that they succeeded Spanish title, all that aside, this guy didn't even have paper title. He is entitled not to be called a trespasser. It might be proper and sufficient to say that when as far back as testimony or memory goes, the land has been held by individuals under a claim of private ownership, hello, it will be presumed to have been held in the same way even before Spanish conquest. What conquest? Spanish never conquered the Philippines and never to have been public land. So here the Supreme Court is vehement. It wants this land to go to the native because he has no paper title. And I don't know what inspired, impelled, compelled, encouraged, motivated, sensitivized the Supreme Court to take this case, but this is a very, very, very important case to all you landowners, ranch owners, farm owners, and homeowners who have built a house on some land, that if Carino means anything, it means your native title is intact. And there is no such thing called public land. This thing about get a building permit, this thing about get a license from the county is pure garbage. Garbage. Unless you stand up and fight, not just one or two of you, unless you stand up and country, you have nothing. You have no rights. You have no country. You have privileges. You may have interests only. I have an interest in my land. But you don't have a right. You see?
Mm-hmm.
What is a right? A legally protected interest enforceable in a court of equity. What is a privilege? Something that the government decides it can give you. I force you to get a driver license, but it's a privilege to apply for a driver license. If it's a privilege, I don't want it. I don't want any favors from you, squatter government. You're squatting on my land, Indian land. Oh, that's your opinion. Really? That's a federal law that says you're squatting on my land and that a right of way is envisaged in 18 U.S.C. 1151. It is still Indian country, despite a right of way. What is a right of way? It could be a freeway, a byway, a boulevard, a road, a street, a back road, a golf course, a hospital, a dockyard, a military base, anything. A right of way. It's still Indian country. If Indian title is not extinguished, sorry, it is still a right of way. We're going to stop there for now, analyzing this so-called Supreme Court decision, and continue next week with this case. So make a note of it, Tom, that we stopped at page 7.
Right, right.
Because I really want to go into the DNA of this twisted, illogical decision, which is significant because it is obscure. But that is what an imperfect government is supposed to do. Now, it's up to us.
2%.
It's up to us, people, to make it more perfect. Do we have a class tomorrow?
Yes, I announced that on tribal law on our Facebook groups.
Okay, perfect. Let's continue this tomorrow, same time, same place.
Right.
So, folks, we've talked and talked and talked and talked, and I'm a bit dismayed that we have till today seen no action. So I believe things are happening. I believe plans are afoot. I believe the right moment is going to be presenting itself. I believe there will be a real awakening without going into too much of details. So let's stay focused. Let's keep the law not under the hat, but keep it at your fingertips. You never know when the enemy is going to turn up, show up, and present its ugly face and its uniform. So know the law. No usucapion. No 18 U.S.C. 1151. Know the Royal Proclamation. Know the Sublimus Due. Know the Magna Carta. Know the Northwest Ordinance of 1787. Know the Mayflower Compact. Keep this all in your back burner to be ready when we are ready to take them on.
Okay. Good homework.
Any questions?
That's good homework, Judge.
Which one?
All those documents to read.
Yeah, I mean, let me say that again. Magna Carta of 1215. Sublimus Dues of 1537, the works of Hugo Grotius, Emeric van Mattel, Franciscus de Victoria, the 1623 Mayflower Compact, the 1763 Royal Proclamation, the 1787, the Northwest Ordinance, and I'm talking about private land. I'm talking about native land. Then, of course, we have 18 U.S.C. 1151, 1151. So keep all that in perspective. No need to refer to your notes. Try memorize it. I mean, heck, when you go and see your face in the mirror, you know it's you, right? I mean, you know your name, right? So if you can memorize your name and memorize your face, what is so difficult about memorizing the Magna Carta of 1215, the Sublimus Deus of 1537, the works of Emmerich Van Mattel, Franciscus de Victoria, Hugo Grotius, 1623 Mayflower Compact, 1763 Royal Proclamation, and the 1787 Northwest Ordinance, culminating in 18 U.S.C. 1151. So apply this. When I ask questions like, can you build on a public land?
Yes.
Of course you can build on a public land. When you say no, that means you forgot about native title. You forgot about 1851. You forgot about the Northwest Ordinance. Forgot about the Mayflower Compact. You forgot about the Royal Proclamation. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. So, any questions, comments, concerns?
Comments? Judge, there was a great Mexican man called Emiliano Zapata.
Yes, Zapata. Viva Zapata.
Words were, la tierra es de quien la trabaja. The earth.
Something about the land. Yeah.
Yes, the earth that you're on is of the one who works it.
Yes.
And apparently, people don't understand that.
No, it's not they don't understand it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to obey it. They don't want to acknowledge it. Because they have to do something, you see. See, there are a lot of people who shun knowledge because it will awaken them. And when it awakens them, they have to take action. They don't want to take action. So what do? They keep away. Denial works. Works wonders.
Comment from Jason. Judge, is it possible to also include your recommended reading list in a bibliography? That way we can keep ourselves in tune to to your heartbeat.
Listen to the back end of this call and write it down.
You mean what I told you to read?
Yeah, I mean, just making a bibliography. I mean, it's a record.
You mean when I said Magna Carta?
Yeah. I'm just asking for a bibliography for
well,
us all.
Why don't you listen to that? Why don't you listen to the tape?
Yes, I'm saying that. But again, we're all talking about creating a paper trail.
Wait. I've just said what I said about the Magna Carta,
yeah.
The 1537 supplement. It's all on the tape. So if you want me to do more work and type these things out, is that what you want me to do?
If it could be, I'm asking. it doesn't matter who does it, as long as we have a bibliography. I'm just saying if it can be done, the more books we have in our list of our arsenal of arms. Yes.
No, will you read it, Jason?
You have to.
No,
because again.
But I've not received your homework back.
Take notes.
Huh?
Take notes.
Yeah, it's
I am.
All there. Yeah, all right. It's all there. No trick questions, you know. I want to make lawyers out of you guys. But you've got to read. I mean, I can give you a list of 300 books to read, but read what I have taught you this far,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes when I throw a question, I'm getting all the weird answers. So I'm wondering, am I doing a good job or what? You know. So
well,
read what I've asked you to read for now, and then we'll take on more meat. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, now, on the FFFF document, there is a list of books that I suggested everybody read. Do you have that, Tom?
Yes, it's posted up on the website.
The FFFF. There'll be a whole lot of books, about maybe 27 books that you ought to read. Let me see. I'm checking that in answer to Jason's questions. No, it's not there. Let me see. No, it's not there. I'll send you that list.
Okay.
And then you can put it up, all the books that you ought to read. Okay? Any other questions, concerns, remarks?
Guess not.
Okay, everybody, have a great day. See you all tomorrow.
Adios.
Let me remind you that since next Friday and the following Friday are going to be Christmas and New Year's, we're going to move the Friday class to Tuesday. So we're going to be preempting the monetized certificate of live birth call and use it for the class. So we'll have class again tomorrow.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay.
There you have it, folks. Great, great, great class. I remember that one. It was a good one. 7514, you still have a question? Anybody else? Press 1. If not, we're going to end this episode. Thank you for coming.